Praise God for this another Sunday that He has given. Indeed, God is good. He is faithful. And He deserves our praises, our adoration. Today, we will continue in our series in Psalms, in the book of Psalms. And this day, we will going to study the Psalms of praise. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, now join me in Psalms 146. And it says there, praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not trust in princes, in mortal man in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs, he returns to the earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made the heaven and earth, the sea in all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who execute justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow, but he thwarts the way of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, you are holy, 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 and your kingdom knows no end. Lord, even as we bow and pray this moment, we know all prayer ultimately is for praise. We come to you because of who you are. We come to you for what you promised. We come to you because you are God and there is no one else. We come to you because there is no salvation in any other name, God. Help us to see your faithfulness more clearly today. Help us to praise more faithfully today and in the days to come. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I entitle my sermon this day, Unending Praise. John Wesley, in his journal on April 21, 1764, he visited a woman who was ill in bed. And after having buried 7 of her family in 6 months, had just heard that the 8th, her beloved husband, was cast away at sea. Now John Wesley asked the woman, "Don't you worry about these things?" The woman said, with a beautiful smile on her pale cheek, "Oh no, how can I get angry about something that is God's will? Let him take all. Besides, he has given me himself. I love him and I praise him every moment." Brethren, most of us would agree that it is easier to praise God when things are going well than when they are not, right? However, throughout the book of Psalms, We have seen writers praise God in almost every circumstance. The Psalms reflect the whole full range of human emotions. But the common thread we see is praise. And nowhere is that more evident than in the last five Psalms of the book. Now, these last five Psalms of the Psalter are in a particular way praise Psalms. Psalms 146 to 150 begin and end the same way. Praise the Lord. They begin and end with a call to praise the Lord. So all five Psalms close the book that focus on praising God. It is as though those who compiled the book wanted to communicate the point that at the end of it all, the chief attitude we should cultivate is one of praise. Indeed, praise is vital. Because to know God is to praise Him. That's the reason why we gather. That's the reason why we listen to the Word of God. Because we want to know Him more. And as we know Him more, we give Him praise more. So those who have experienced the grace and goodness of God recognize that our God is an awesome God. Our world is filled with sin and sorrow, to be sure, but we serve a great God who made everything, keeps His word, does what is right, and help those who are hurting. For such a God, we can say, Hallelujah! For such a God, we can say, Praise the Lord! So what exactly does this psalmist model for us in terms of our proper response to our great God? So Psalms 146, I want to try and show you from these verses why we believers gives an ending praise. First, the psalmist command us to praise. In verse 1 to 2, it says there, praise the Lord, O my soul, I praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Notice in these verses, the psalmist gives a call to praise. Praise the Lord. Now, the word in Hebrew is actually a word that is familiar to us. It is hallelujah. Now, in Jewish culture, the word hallelujah was part of a liturgy or normal ritual of the worship service. Hallelujah was a response that was given to something the worship leader said. So, it's kind of like amen, no? In this time. So the worship leader might proclaim, His love endures forever, and the people would be expected to respond with, Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! And saying Hallelujah at the beginning of a Psalms was out of the ordinary. Instead of Hallelujah or Praise the Lord being the response as it usually would be, putting it at the beginning of the Psalms makes it a command that demands a response. So in this context, the phrase praise the Lord is a command issued to the congregation assembled for worship. It is a call for everyone to worship and honor the Lord. So the psalmist gives an invitation for everyone to every believer, every child of God, to praise Him. I know some people who live in the sport world, no? They have chosen team and they are dedicated to that team. They go through life looking for an opportunity to recruit others to love the same team they do. They live their life just wishing everybody would love the same team they love. They want everyone to praise the team they love. So those who live in the sports world are always trying to recruit others to like their team. Right? Is it true? So basically, this is what cheerleaders do. They jump and yell trying to motivate the spectators to praise the team for what they are doing. And I have come to the realization that we ought to all be cheerleaders for the Lord. If the Lord is real and wonderful to us, we all need to call others to praise the wonderful God that we have to come to know, love, and serve. When Christ becomes real and precious to us, we ought to want everyone to love Him like we do. And look, the psalmist doesn't merely tell others to praise the Lord. He also exhorts himself to praise the Lord fully. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Church, this is not lip service praise. This is not perfunctory praise. This is extravagant, soul deep praise. In Hebrew thinking, the soul is not just some ethereal part of who we are. The soul is who we are. A person doesn't just have a soul. A person is a soul. So when the psalmist offers this praise, he offers it from the deepest part of who he is, from head to toe, from heart and mind, from the life and lips, he offers God praise. And as we believers, we should strive to have the same attitude. We should seek to praise the Lord with all that we are. In other words, we should not simply go through the motions of praising God. We should be genuine in our praise. It should not be a lip service praise. Now we see a call to praise, and in continuation, we see a commitment to praise. The writer goes on to tell us that his praise will know no boundaries and no limits. Verse 2, it says, I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. What the psalmist is saying here is that praise shouldn't just involve all that we are. It should be the continuous pattern of our life. This should be our lifestyle as a Christian. It is a commitment we make to the Lord. A long-term commitment, a long-term resolve to praise the Lord. Church, our praise to the Lord is not a one-time deal, but a long-term commitment to the Lord. That as long as we live, as long as we breathe, we will praise the Lord, whether in good times, in bad times, in happy, in sickness, na ay kwarta o wala, we will commit to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the psalmist is making a commitment to praise the Lord. There are some people who put on their religious clothes when they enter church and constantly praise the Lord while they are there. But when they leave church, they take off their religious clothes and never praise the Lord again until the next Sunday, the next time they come to church. Church, brethren, our praise for the Lord should know no boundaries. We should be committed to praising the Lord every day and everywhere we go. When life is smooth, you ought to praise Him. When life goes tough, you ought to praise Him. We must determine to praise the Lord with our lives as long as we live. And such praise is not always easy, but it is absolutely necessary to our spiritual health and vitality. Genuine praise to our God will engage the mind, stir the emotions, and move the will. It will be grounded in the Word of God, and it will engulf the whole person. All of me, my soul, will praise this great God as long as I live and for all eternity. You see, the psalmist doesn't just know about God. He knows God. No? He says, I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. He has a relationship with God. He is intimately acquainted with God. Calls Him my God. And he can stop singing and talking about God. This is a God-centered, God-saturated psalm. The psalmist refers to God 15 times in just 10 verses. He uses God's covenant name, Yahweh, the Lord, 11 times. And God's title, Elohim, God, 4 times. So the Lord is His God and He makes no bones about it. Doesn't leave us guessing. Doesn't leave us wondering where He stands with God. What He thinks of God. According to A.W. Tozer, what comes into our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And this psalmist leaves no doubt what comes into his mind when we think about God. He can't get God of his mind, of his lips, or out of his eyes. His focus is God, not even his circumstances. Not even his problems, not even the people around him, but to God. A little boy and his grandfather were watching a sunset at the beach. The boy asked, "Pops, do you ever see God in a sunset?" And his pop replied, "Anymore, I hardly see anything else." And that's the gospel lens, and that's our psalmist. He begins this God-saturated psalms with profound praise. So now, the psalmist has given us a sense of what it means to praise the Lord. He continues to flesh out that explanation by giving us instruction on how to praise the Lord. He starts by telling us how not to praise. And then he tells us to praise God. So his basic thesis is simple. We should praise God by reflecting on who He is. And then living our lives based on that truth. Church, do you know your God? Do you know who's the one you are serving right now? So, live on that truth on who God is. So he tells us here the caution and praise. No, in verse 3 and 4, it says there, put not trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plants perish. So what does the psalmist mean by princess? Princess meaning, no, the rich people, gifted people, talented people, powerful people, in short, influential people, people that can make things happen. People you're attempted to put your trust in. For example, no, the doctors, financial planners, or even the pastors. The psalmist says that we should not put our confidence in man, but in the Lord. His reasoning is simple. Men are not able to effect lasting change. They might seem to give us hope in the short term, but ultimately, all human beings discover they are not as powerful as they think. They have limitations, their own limitations. Even the most powerful human will die and lose any authority or power they think they have. So the truth is there is no guarantee that a human being can really change anything. Not only do human beings die, but they get sick. They lost their position of power. They discovered that the thing they thought they could accomplish was actually something they couldn't do. So not a single one could say they might have appeared to be as powerful as God. They could win battles here and there. They could build alliances that made for temporary peace. They could make shrewd trade deals and move the nation's economy in the right direction. They could speak like an angel and snort like a bull. But they couldn't save. Not a single one was perfect. God is not subject to the same limitations. He transcends these things. As a result, we should not look to human devices, leaders, or schemes to help us through life. We must look to God and God alone for assurance, guidance, and salvation. It's a simple principle. But if we are honest with ourselves, most of us will be forced to admit that we often place far more confidence in man than we do in God. As a believer, our trust, our focus, our confidence should be in God. So man is unworthy of praise. He has no power over our situation and does not control our direction. The only one worthy of our praise is the Lord. He is the only one who can redeem us from our sins and change our eternal destiny. Man is a passing creature. We are not here for long. As a matter of fact, when man passes from the scene, he is soon forgotten. But God, on the other hand, is eternal. Therefore, He and not man deserve all the praise we can render to Him. He is worthy. So we have looked at the command to praise and the caution in praise. let's look at the cause to praise. The psalmist shows us why a person who knows the Lord has many reasons to praise Him. The psalmist is contrasting those whose hope is in man with those whose hope is in God. You see, church, those who place their trust in themselves or others have no reliable reasons for rejoicing. But all those whose faith is in God have more to praise Him more than they can ever comprehend. That is the message of verse 5. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Psalms 146, we are charged to find our help, our place of hope in the God of Jacob, the Lord his God. The God of Jacob is a reminder that our God is a covenant-keeping God who helped the patriarchal schemer in his times of need and even desperation. And here, no, there are 12 glorious affirmations in verse 5 to 9 that give us the reason why we praise God and we put our hope on Him. So the psalmist looks at the nature of the Lord in the ways He provides for us. These things give us confidence that we can trust in Him and praise Him. Verse 6 to 9, He made heaven. These are the list. He made the heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He keeps every promise forever. He gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry. The Lord frees the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are weighed down. The Lord loves the godly. The Lord protects the foreigners amongst us. He cares for the orphans and widows, but He frustrates the plans of the wicked. So the point the writer is trying to make is that we can place our confidence in God because He has proven Himself to be faithful time and time again. Amen? In the times when we are tempted to trust in the things of the world, we should take the time to look back at the God's track record in our own lives, in the lives of others. Look back at the ways that God has proved Himself faithful. Church, our God is faithful. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He will never change. He is the same God, good, faithful God. Look at the ways He has kept His promises. Look back at the times in your past when you realized that God's way was better than your way. So true praise is about more than just singing songs. It's about rejoicing in His goodness, being grateful for His consistency, and trusting in His guidance. True praise springs from our love of the Lord. And such an attitude only comes when we understand the character of God enough to know that He is worthy of being trusted and praised. When we remember the nature of the Lord, we cannot help but praise Him. The Psalms ends as it begins on the high note of hallelujah or praise the Lord. Verse 10, the Lord will reign forever. He will be your God, O Jerusalem, throughout the generations. Praise the Lord. The Lord reigns forever. Earthly rulers come and go. They're like an early morning fog burned off by the blazing heat of the sun. regardless of their wisdom, power, personality, and influence, they eventually pass off the sins. They die. This is true of every kind king, but one, our King, the Lord who is King, our King Jesus, He will reign forever. The Lord reigns from Zion for all generations. The Lord's anointed King, His anointed Son, will sovereignly reign over all that He has purchased with His blood. And His reign is total. His reign is forever. What can we say to this? That is easy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Truly, our God is an awesome God. Amen. Now, church, I don't know what's going on in your life right now. How is this pandemic affects your worship? You may have come to worship this morning out of obligation. Maybe you don't really feel like praising God. I hope you see that that praising God is really the only appropriate response for believers. Christians, by definitions, are people who recognize they deserve condemnation and cannot change that fact on their own. Christians recognize that our only hope is to ask God to do what we cannot. If you are a believer, then you understand what God has given you in Jesus Christ. He has met the greatest need you could have, the need for forgiveness. And if we understand that we have been given, then it is impossible not to praise the Lord. If we find it difficult to praise Him, maybe it's because we have forgotten who He is. Or maybe, wala yung kakaila sa imuhang ginuong nag-ialagaran o gisimba. Because for God to be known is for God to praise, to be praised. And to know Him is to praise Him. So true believers recognize that our only hope is the Lord of all creation. He alone can sustain us and save us. Our circumstances might change, but God does not. Our feelings might change, but God's love for us does not. In every case, we see that God is the only one on whom we can rely. When we really understand this truth, it should change us. It should lift our eyes from our circumstances to our provider and deliverer. It should make us confident in life even when we don't understand why things are happening the way they are. So rather than panicking, we can rejoice in His perfect sufficiency. When we understand who God is and what He has done and is doing, praising Him with all our souls won't be something we have to think a great deal about doing. It will just come naturally. Unending praise to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, indeed, You are worthy of our praise. Lord, forgive us if our life is not, Lord, consistent, O Lord God, in giving You praise. Lord, forgive us if our focus is on the things of this world, if our focus is in our problems, our circumstances, Lord, our prayer today, bring us back, O Lord God. Bring us back. Help us, O Lord God, to fix, to refocus our eyes on you, Lord. Lord, as we know you, O Lord God, may our praise grow more. May our life defines praise, Lord God. Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord God. I pray, O Lord God, may you continually work in the lives of your people, Lord. May you continually, O Lord God, touch their hearts, speak to them, O Lord God. I pray, O Lord God, nga ikaw lang, O Lord God, ang mag-istorya kanila, O Lord God, ang mag-comfort kanila, O Lord God, ang mag-guide sa ila, O Lord God, sa imuhang mapulong, O Lord God. So we praise you, O Lord God. We glorify you, O Lord God, for who you are, O Lord God. We thank you for this day, O Lord God. Indeed, you deserve the praises of your people. You are worthy of our unending praise because you never change. You the same God yesterday, today, and forever, the good and faithful God. This we pray. Amen.